I want to welcome you to our continuing series titled The Seven Habits of Highly Successful Spiritual People, a series modeled after the best-selling book by Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. We find ourselves now, this is our fourth class, our fourth lecture, our fourth shiur in this series, and it is tonight that we will begin habit number three. So Covey calls habit number three, put first things first. So to really understand this particular habit, let's take a quick review through habits number one and habits number two. Habit number one, of course, was be proactive. The idea being you are the leader of your life. All too often we are handed scripts by other people. And being handed a script doesn't necessarily have to mean anything, God forbid, malicious or terrible. Sometimes we're handed a script from childhood. Our parents have a certain vision of us. Sometimes our friends have a certain vision, siblings, spouses, employers. And often we live life based on the script that other people give us. Habit number one to be proactive is you are the leader of your life. You are the creator of your life. Make sure that the script you are living is the script you have written. Habit number two was begin with the end in mind. We spent two classes focusing on this particular habit. And the idea of this habit, of course, is to create an image for yourself, a mental image of what you would like your life to be like. You know, in the same way that it's kind of when we think about vacation. So a person has, different people have different images of vacation. For some people, the perfect vacation is sitting on a beach chair overlooking the water with a drink in my hand and absolutely no activity. And I just want to sit like that for a couple of days, relax, recharge, then I could rejoin the world. For other people, that's a klolo, that's a curse, that's not a vacation. They have to have itineraries and backpacking and hiking and activities. And the goal is at the end they want to be exhausted from all the fun activity. Okay, so when you plan your vacation, you have this image of what your vacation, what kind of vacation you want to be. Habit number two says, in order to be successful in life, you have to know what success looks like. What does success look like? What does a successful, meaningful life look like to you? So you have to create that image in your mind of what a successful life looks like. And once you see what the image looks like, once you see what success looks like, once you see what the finish line, the goalpost looks like, then you could go forward and ultimately bring that to fruition. And that brings us, and again, as part of habit number two, we spoke about creating a personal mission statement. Or again, although it sounds a bit morose, writing your own eulogy. These are ways in which you visualize the kind of person you want to be, the kind of life you want to lead, and the type of goals you want to set for yourself, which then leads us to habit number three. And habit number three, as I mentioned before, Covey calls, put first things first. On a most basic level, habit number three is the actualization of habits one and two. So if in habit one, I become the leader of my life, I'm the creator. In habit two, I am making the image of what a successful life, a meaningful life, a powerful life looks like. Habit number three is then when I begin to take that visualization and I begin to actually implement it. I begin to actually create it, because a vision is incredible, and a mindset that I'm the leader and rewriting my own scripts, that's incredible, but they're only meaningful if they're actually put into practice. So habit number three, put first things first, is ultimately again where I take habits one, habits two, and actually begin to create them in what we would call, you know, bring them into the olam ha'asiyah, bring them into the real world, turn them from potential into kinetic. Now, how does that work? So how do I actually take habits one and two? How do I, in habit one, I become the leader, I've written the script. In habit two, I visualize what it is that I want for myself. How do I make this a reality? So habit number three has a number of different pieces. So tonight, we're really only gonna focus on the first part of habit number three. We'll probably end up spending at least another class or two developing this particular habit. But what habit number three really requires is a transition from leadership back to management. If you remember again, back in habit number one, we spoke about the fact that very often we're good managers, but we're not good leaders. What's the difference between a manager and a leader? So the leader is the person who has the big vision. The leader is the one who says, here's what we need to do, here's what we have to accomplish. The manager says, okay, now that you gave me the vision, now that you tell me what we need to go, what we need to do, I'm gonna figure out how to get there in the best way possible. If you remember, again, the example that Covey gave that we mentioned in one of our past classes was, you know, let's say you have to clear a forest. You have to clear a forest because you need to get to a desired destination. So the leader will tell you, there's the destination, here's the forest. Here's the forest we have to clear. And then the manager comes along and it's the manager's job to say, here's how we clear that we need X number of men. We need this kind of machinery. Here's how we need to do it. So there's leadership, which is like the vision. Here's what I want to do. And there's management, how I actually do it. So in habit number one, we spoke about the fact that very often we excel in management, but often lack in leadership. What does that mean? That I could be very busy. I can do a lot of stuff. I'm good at getting a lot accomplished. The question just is, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that am I working on the right things? We're going to develop this more. Am I working on the right things? So I need to be leadership. That's where, again, in habit number one, that's my leadership. Be proactive. What's my script? What do I want to do? What do I want to create? Habit number two is also being a leader. Visualize what that success means to you. In habit number three, we transition a bit more into management. Because remember, if I successfully executed habit number two, then I have a mental image of the life I want to lead, or more specifically, the kind of person I want to be. What are my goals? What are my aspirations? What do I want to accomplish? What's the metric of success? So in habit number two, I did that. I exercised the leadership in habit number two. Now in habit number three, I must again revert back to management. Now I need to manage these processes, right? Because remember, just like management without leadership could lead to a lot of work, but not a lot of success, leadership without management gives you incredible visions, ideas, aspirational desires, but just you don't get it done. So management says, let's take all those great, incredible things, but let's get them done. See, interestingly enough, so now the first part of transitioning into management is, again, what Covey calls putting first things first. So to illustrate this, I want to read to you, he writes, in habit number three, I want to quote to you. He says, one of my favorite essays is The Common Denominator of Success, written by E.M. Gray. He spent his life searching for the one denominator, that all successful people share. He found, listen to this, it wasn't hard work, good luck, or astute human relations, though those were all important. The one factor that seemed to transcend all the rest embodies the essence of habit number three, putting first things first. Interestingly enough, the way Covey defines that is organize and execute around priorities. Organize and execute around priorities. What does this mean? On a very basic level, and you're going to see this sounds so simple, yet it's probably one of the most difficult things to grapple with day after day. Organize and execute around priorities means on any given day, I have a number of things I have to accomplish. But the reality is that they are not all of equal importance. Some of them are tasks that I just have to do. And some of them are what we will call mission critical. Because remember, in habit number two, I created my life mission statement. And that life mission statement said, these are the things that are important to me. These are the foundational pillars of my existence. And remember, again, we spoke about how do you see those foundational pillars in my role as a husband, as a father, as a Jew, as a businessman, whatever roles you have in life. So on any given day, there are a whole number of different things I have to do. Some of them just have to get done. Some of them are tasks that need to get done. They're important, but they're not necessarily a priority. Versus other things that are mission critical. Certain things in my day that literally speak to my personal mission statement. Certain things in my day that are literally part and parcel of what I need to do in order to self-actualize and to really become the best version of myself. And on any given day, I have a whole bunch of these things. And what often happens throughout life is we busy ourselves, but we don't necessarily prioritize what we busy ourselves with. So when he quotes over here, this E.M. Gray, the one factor that seemed to transcend all of the rest is putting first things first. When I look at my day and I see my to-do list, and we'll talk about to-do lists in just a little bit, and I look at all those things that quote unquote have to be accomplished. So I write them in a list, and often what I do throughout the day is I just go through my list. What I haven't done is ranked those activities in order of importance. Because what often happens, if you're like me, is you make a to-do list and rarely do you get to the end of that to-do list. And amazingly enough, when you begin to think about it and you look at the things that are unfinished on your to-do list, often, for whatever the reason, there's some very important stuff. I was able to go through all of the quote-unquote, you know, important but not necessarily most important things. And a lot of times, it's the important stuff that's on the bottom of the list gets pushed to tomorrow, the next day, so on and so forth. And so I can go through days, weeks, months, years being busy and accomplishing things, but I haven't necessarily devoted myself to the priorities. I haven't put first things first. Putting first things first mean if you have a whole bunch of things you have to accomplish, what are your priorities? What are the order of priorities in order for me to accomplish things properly in life? You know, he tells a couple of stories, which I just want to share with you because I thought they were really quite fascinating. One is a story about his wife, and one is a professional story. Listen to this. He says, some time ago, my wife was invited to serve as a chairman of a committee in a community endeavor. She had a number of truly important things she was trying to work on, and she really didn't want to do it, but she felt pressured into it and finally agreed. Then she called one of her close friends to ask if she would serve on her committee. Her friend listened for a long time and then said, Sandra, that sounds like a wonderful project, a really worthy undertaking. I appreciate so much you're inviting me to be a part of it. I feel honored by it. For a number of reasons, I won't be participating myself, but I want you to know how much I appreciate your invitation. Sandra was ready for anything but a pleasant no. She turned to me and sighed, I wish I'd said that. It's such a profound story because so many times we get asked to get involved in meaningful things. There's no shortage of meaningful things. But the question is this a good idea for me to get involved in? Does it speak to my personal mission statement? Is it some part of my core values of life? And is it a priority? You see, dear friends, there is a limited amount of time in each and every day. And no person could work 24 hours. No person should work 24 hours. I need time to work. I need time to be with my family. I need time to be alone. I need time to eat. I need time to exercise. I need time to sleep. I need time for all the important things in life. So therefore, at a certain point in time, I can't do everything. I can't do everything. And so many times in life, we get involved in things that are good, but they're not really my priority. They're good, but they're not really part of my core values. They're important, but they don't necessarily have to be important for me. He tells another story. When I was director of university relations at a large university, I hired a very talented, proactive, creative writer. One day after I had been on the job for a few months, I went into his office and asked him to work on some urgent matters that were pressing to me. He said, Stephen, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just let me share with you my situation. This is incredible. Then he took me over to his wall board, where he had listed more than 24 projects he was working on, together with the performance criteria and deadline dates that had been clearly negotiated before. He was highly disciplined, which is why I went to see him in the first place. After all, they say, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy man. Then he said, Stephen, to do the jobs you want done right, would take several days. Which of these projects would you like me to delay or cancel to satisfy your request? Well, I didn't want to take responsibility for that. I didn't want to put a cog in the wheel of one of the most productive people on the staff just because I happened to be managing by crisis at the time. The jobs I wanted done were urgent, but not important. So I went and found another crisis manager and gave the job to him. Now we'll talk about more in our next class. Covey develops 4 quadrants into which all of life's activities really fit into. And we'll see again, those quadrants, just to tell you, those quadrants really are important and urgent, important, not urgent, not important and urgent, not important and not urgent. So we'll discuss, God willing, all of those different pieces in our next class. But here in this habit number 3, we really begin to focus on this concept of putting first things first. At the end of the day, you have to have a set of priorities. You know, it's interesting, Covey discusses that in previous iterations of management, you know, everything was about your to-do lists, all about your to-do lists in life, right? That the goal of an effective kind of, you know, together, what's the word? I'll call it effective person was a to-do list, right? If you really were into time management, your to-do list, and you figure out what you're doing here and what you're doing there, and you allocate different blocks of time for different things. But the truth is, to-do lists are important, but as I mentioned before, to-do lists don't necessarily tell you what's more important and what's less important. To-do lists just simply tell you all the things you have to do. And a lot of times when we run our lives through to-do lists, so often the focus is on what it is that has to get done, but without any ranking of those particular things. And as we know very well, then what ends up happening is I work hard, I get a lot of things done, I take a lot of things off the to-do list, but sometimes I miss the things that are most important and most critical to my success, to my life. I want to give you two examples of this that we find ultimately again in Chumash. So interestingly enough, the two examples are Yosef and Avraham. When Yosef interprets the dreams for Paro, so remember again, to make a long story short, Paro has his dreams about the sheaves, the large sheaves swallowing up the thinner sheaves, the small animals going ahead, the thin animals swallowing up the larger animals. And Yosef interprets the dream for Paro. And Yosef explains to Paro that it represents years of famine. And what Yosef says to Paro is something amazing. This is in Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed Daled. Yosef says, Ya'aseh Paro v'yafkid pekidim al ha'aretz. He gives Paro a plan. Here's the plan. The plan is you have to go ahead and put officers on the land, split up the land into a bunch of quadrants, and gather the food. It's a relatively simple plan. What's interesting in Yosef's words is the urgency in which he conveys it to Paro. He says to Paro, this is something that has to get done, and has to get done now. This is something that must be taken care of. In other words, there are a lot of things that go into the running of a country. But at the end of the day, this must get done right now. It can't wait. It can't wait. It can't wait till later. It can't wait till next week. Everything else has to be set aside and take care and plan for the upcoming famine. Because if you start worrying about taxes, and if you start worrying about other aspects of the economy, and you start worrying about borders, you start worrying about all the things that countries have to worry about, and you don't focus all of your attention right now on gathering the food, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. So Yosef teaches us this incredible idea of putting first things first. You have to identify what is number one on your agenda. What is the most important thing? And then ultimately, go ahead and plan from there. So you can make your to-do lists. But if you're going to make your to-do list, make sure you identify what should be on the top and what should be on the bottom. Another example, Avraham Avinu. Today, this is really incredible. The Pasuk says, two psukim want to talk to you about Avraham Avinu. In Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham first comes to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. So first, God gives him the Lech Lecha directive. Then Avram shows up in Canaan. And after he shows up in Canaan, the Pasuk says, Vayiven sham mizbeach la'ashem hanira elav. Avraham Avinu builds a mizbeach, he builds an altar. And in fact, this happens over and over and over again. Avraham is building altars. And Rabbi Soloveitchik points out something amazing. He says, although Avram builds altars, it never says that Avram offered karbanos. It doesn't say that Avram offered sacrifices. And Rabbi Soloveitchik explains very beautifully that perhaps these altars were not about sacrifices, but these altars were ultimately like a podium on which Avraham Avinu was able to preach to the masses, in which he was able to go ahead and convey the beautiful and uplifting and inspiring message of monotheism. And that's why you see Avraham building altar after altar after altar. That's why, amazingly enough, when Avraham gets to Canaan and there's a famine, where does he go? He goes immediately down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And although, again, ostensibly it's because Egypt had food, Rabbi Soloveitchik explains so beautifully, Egypt was the cradle of society. It was the center point. It was the gathering place for the civilized world in the Middle East at that point in time. So Avraham Avinu understood that if I can get to Egypt and influence Egypt, there's no telling what I could accomplish. There's no telling what I can do. So Avraham Avinu makes a conscious decision to go to Egypt, to go to Mitzrayim, because this was his mission. And in fact, a little bit later on, right before the Akedah, you know, the binding of Yitzchak is pretty much the last dynamic act that Avraham Avinu engages in. Because really, again, after the Akedah, he marries off Yitzchak, and the story really switches to Yitzchak and Rivka. Avraham Avinu kind of recedes into the background a little bit. But what does the Pasuk say? Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva. Avraham Avinu planted an Eshel. Why does the Rav tell us he planted an Eshel? And Rashi says Eshel is an acronym, Achila Shti Alina. He opened up an inn, and in that inn he gave people a place to eat, a place to drink, a place to sleep. Avraham Avinu opened up a little hotel. Or he planted a tree under which people came to eat. So why did he do that? So again, Rashi explains, because that was how he disseminated the word of God. That was how he disseminated the concept of God. You see, Avraham Avinu lived his life with a singular mission: the dissemination of the monotheistic dream. Avraham Avinu lived his life with one mandate: I am the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He put first things first. So he comes into Eretz Yisrael, the first thing he does, he builds a Mizbeach, not because God needs offerings, but because he needs a podium in which to address the masses. There's a famine, he goes down to Egypt, because I can influence that society. With the last act before the Akedah, he plants an Eshel, an inn, so that he can bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately again by showing them the beauty of the Ribono Shel Olam. Yosef, Paro, there's a million things you have to do as the king of Egypt, but this is the one thing, this is the thing you have to do first. Split up the land, appoint individual governors to gather the food, store up, or I should say, build up the stockpiles of food. First things first. So you see, from Avram, first things first. Yosef, first things are first. And again, Kavi tells us that part of the success, if I want to go ahead and I want to really be a leader, if I want to go ahead and I really want to go ahead and stop using the script that other people have given me, if I want to go ahead and actualize habit 2 and take my vision and implement it, it requires me identifying what's a priority and what's not a priority. And not just in life, even on any given day. I'll end off with a beautiful quote by Johann Wolfgang van Goethe, who wrote, "Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least." One more time. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. On every day when we start our day and we begin to assemble the things that we have to accomplish, in addition to making our to-do list, after you make that to-do list, rank it. What's most important? What's of secondary importance? And what's really of least importance? I know I have to do it all, but at the end of the day, create a hierarchy in the things you want to accomplish in life. And then you won't simply just be busy, but you will be successful as well. We will continue, God willing, next week with habit number 3 as well, where we'll go through the graph and the quadrants, but something really to think about. So often we define success as being busy, and a lot of times busy just means busy. I want to be successful in life, and success requires me creating a hierarchy, organizing my to-do list, figuring out what first things must come first. Wishing everyone a wonderful evening.